One day the Baal Shem Tov called one of his Hasidim, and his name was Reb Avraham. And he says to Reb Avraham, I want you to take this ticket to a ship. You will go on the ship, and the ship is going to take you to a certain place, and I want you to travel to that place. Here's the ticket. And Reb Avraham looks at the ticket, and he sees that the ship is going to leave pretty soon, and he has to go pack his stuff and make it on time for the ship. And he takes the ticket from the Baal Shem Tov, and he goes. Now, the Baal Shem Tov, as you see, did not tell him what to do in that place. Only he's sending him to that place. All right, Avraham says, I'll figure out what to do when I get there. All I know is the Baal Shem Tov wants me to go to that place, and I have a ticket for the ship. And Reb Avraham packs his stuff very fast, and he travels to the ocean. And over there is waiting the big ship, and people are going on with their suitcases and their boxes and their stuff. And Reb Avraham has his stuff, his suitcase with his talis and tefillin that he's carrying with him, and some sfarim and kosher food. And of course, he doesn't exactly know how long he's going to have to stay in that place, and he just packed whatever he could pack. And the ship starts to sail away into the ocean. And they go. And it was a journey of days and maybe weeks that they have to go over the ocean. And during the long trip on the ship, there came a gigantic storm in the ocean with wind and waves. And it was very rough. And it was like the Yoina story that we all know for Yom Kippur, but it's a little bit different because by the Yoina story, the storm went away. And this storm didn't go away. It got worse and worse until the ship started to break apart and sink. And everybody had to either jump off the ship or go down with the ship. And Reb Avraham jumped off the ship into the ocean. Oh, Hashem, help me. The ship has now broken apart and it's sinking. And he starts to swim away from the ship that he should not get sucked into the water going down. And he starts to swim in the ocean with all of his koyach. And as he's going and he's going, he sees from far away an island. You know what an island is? Land in the middle of the ocean. Baruch Hashem, there is a place to go that I shouldn't be in the middle of the ocean. There's an island there. I hope other people also will make it to the island. Strangely enough, he looked around and he did not see anyone. Nobody else was swimming towards the island, and he also did not see the ship or any pieces of the ship. He was all alone, swimming to the island. And finally, Reb Avraham gets to the island. He gets to the beach. He is so tired, but he's so thankful to Hashem. I reached a safe place. I wonder what island this is. I wonder where I am. Well, kinalach, Reb Avraham rested until he was able to get up to walk. And he thanked Hashem that he's by the island. And he thinks to himself, oi, the Baal Shem Tov wanted me to go to a certain place, and now I ended up on the island. Well, of course, everything is hashkacha pratis. I guess I'm supposed to be on the island then, until I can somehow get to the place that the Baal Shem Tov sent me. After all, was it his fault? Did he choose that the ship should sink in the middle of the ocean in a storm? Of course not. Who is the one who plans the steps of a person? Hashem. Hashem has put me on this island. I don't know why. All right. If you can't figure out why, maybe you'll see later. Right now, he's just got to somehow find maybe there's people on the island. How will I live on this island? How will I get off this island? Well, Kinalach, Rabbi Avram couldn't answer all the questions. He's just going to do his best. And he starts walking into the forest, into the trees, looking, maybe there's people living on the island. And he goes for a whole day. He does not see any people and no houses. He does see some animals and birdies. And he's able to find wild plants that he could eat, wild berries or wild things growing. You know, some people know how to live in the middle of a forest or in the middle of nowhere, how to survive if they have to, like soldiers or, you know, people that have to do that kind of thing. And Rabbi Avram was able now to find things to eat and to live. And he went a whole day and he slept in the middle of the forest on the island. He said Kriya Shma Lamita. Of course, he davened. Baruch Hashem, he had his talus and tefillin. I don't know if he had anything else that he was able to save, but he saved his talus and tefillin. He was able to daven. He had a sitter. And he woke up in the morning. He was able to wash Negel Vaser from the water of a stream, and he went on another day. Not one person. A bird, yep. An animal, yep. Plants, trees, plenty. But no people. Finally, it came Thursday. He knew it was Thursday. He was able to keep track of the days. And he starts to think, where am I going to spend Shabbos? In the middle of nowhere on this island? Well, if I have to, I have to. But I sure wish I could find some people, especially some Yidden, a place to stay for Shabbos. And it's getting now the end of Thursday. It's still light outside. And Avram is still traveling on the island. It's a pretty big island. And from far away through the trees, he sees something that's not just trees and not just plants. It looks like a house. Hey, look, way over there, far away, it's a house. That's what it looks like. And it's not a broken down house. It looks like a regular house. And look, next to it is another house. And there's another house. Let me get over there and see what's over there. It looks like a little town. Sure enough, as he comes through the trees, he goes on a road, and he sees a little town. But strangely enough, even though all the houses were nice, there were no people there, and it was very quiet. Hey, what's that bigger house over there? It looks like a shul. A shul on the middle of an island? That's what it looks like. Reb Avraham looks and he sees that is a shul. And he goes into the shul. And he looks around. It's a nice shul. Look, there's sidurim, there are chumashim, there's an aron hakodesh, there are tables, there are benches, but there's no people. Very, very strange. He davened mincha in the shul by himself. Let me go and knock on one of the doors of the houses and see if anybody's home. And he goes to the nearest house, a very nice house. He knocks on the door. As he knocks on the door, it opens because it wasn't locked. And he looks inside. A beautiful Yiddish house. Isn't that a nice house? Look, there's leichter over there and a nice table. And chairs, and it's a nice house. Now, if nobody lives here, it would be dusty, it would be dirty, it would be broken down, but it looks like a perfect house. He decided to go in, even though you're not supposed to go in without permission, but he was just wondering, what in the world is going on here? Maybe people need my help, maybe something is wrong. And he calls out, is anybody home? And he took his finger on the wood, on the furniture, and he went like this to see just how dusty it would be. As if you walk into a place that nobody lives, it would be dusty. There was not one speck of dust. It was so clean and so nice, but just nobody there. Boy, this is strange. This whole thing is strange. The Baal Shem Tov sends me on a ship. I never get to the place. The ship sinks. I end up on an island. There's nobody on the island except now I find a town. It's a Yiddish town. There's a shul and nice houses. And nobody's here. And not a speck of dust. I wonder what's going on. Well, it's getting dark. Rav Avram went to the shul to daven Ma'ariv, and he decided he's going to go out into the forest to sleep at night. He didn't want to sleep in somebody's house without permission. And he goes out into the forest, and he goes schluffy. And he fell asleep under a tree in the forest. And now he woke up. It's Friday morning, Erev Shabbos. And he thinks to himself, well, at least I can go back to the town and spend Shabbos. Well, I'll be all by myself, but at least there's a shul there. And who knows, maybe somebody will show up to the houses. I don't know where they'll come from or where they've been, but after all, they're nice houses, and they're Yiddish houses. And he makes his way through the trees back to the town. And all of a sudden, as Rav Avram comes past the last tree to the town, and now he is coming to the town, he sees a completely different picture than yesterday. Yesterday he saw an empty town, quiet. And now all of a sudden, he sees the streets are filled with people. There's Yidden everywhere. People are going and they're coming and they're going into the stores and they're carrying bags and they're pushing carts and everybody's busy. And look how many people there are. There's men and there are ladies and there are kids and the place is full of people. A busy town. Did you ever see a busy street on Erev Shabbos? A lot of people getting ready for Shabbos? That's exactly what it looked like. Shh. And Reb Avram goes over to a Yid. He says, excuse me, Reb Yid. Tell me, who are you? And where is this place? And what's the name of this island? And the Yid says, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'm getting ready for Shabbos. I have to go buy some fish. See you later. And he goes by. And Reb Avram asks somebody else, hey, please, I would like to know something about this town. What's its name? I have to buy flour for my wife because she wants to bake challah for Shabbos. We're busy getting ready for Shabbos. I'll speak to you later. I'm in a big hurry. Somebody else is going by. Excuse me, I'm a stranger here and I've been on the island for a while and I just have to find out where I am. Well, I'd love to speak to you, but I have to buy vegetables because we're making a nice soup and we're having a big soup for Shabbos and we want to make it, you know, we want to make it in time and we want to cook everything. So we have to get busy buying all the vegetables. So maybe I'll speak to you later. I'm in a big hurry to get ready for Shabbos. And he speaks to somebody else and that person's getting chickens and somebody else is buying potatoes and somebody else is going to buy cake and somebody else is carrying something else and nobody has any time at all. Everybody's busy getting ready for Shabbos. Finally, he finds somebody. He finds a man that wasn't carrying any big packages or bags or anything and he was walking a little bit slower and he says to the man, excuse me, I really have to find out where in the world I am. I was in a shipwreck, and I've been in the forest on the island the whole week, and now I came to the town, and yesterday it was empty, and I'm so curious, I have to find out where in the world am I anyway? He says, look, we're all getting ready for Shabbos, and we're very busy, but tonight, in the shul, we're going to daven, Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. Of course, we'll see you there. Of course, you know, you'll be there too, because you're here now, and you know, you'll find a nice place for Shabbos, I'm sure. And tonight in the shul, you'll see the Rav. He's in the front of the shul. He's our Rav, the rabbi of our town. Go to him, and you can ask him the question, and he'll have the answer for you. And I'm sure that he'll also invite you for Shabbos, because he loves to have a guest for Shabbos. So why don't you go to the Rav tonight? We don't usually have guests for Shabbos in our town, because we're in the middle of the island. So I'm sure the Rav would love to have the chance to have you as a Shabbos guest. And you can ask the Rav all of your questions, and I'm sure the Rav will be very happy tonight, when it's already Shabbos, to answer all of your questions. But excuse me, right now I'm very, very busy. I have to go to somebody's house to help them to get ready for Shabbos. So I'll see you tonight, Meretz Hashem. And Reb Avraham is just watching this whole thing, how everybody is so busy getting ready for Shabbos, but he's looking forward to tonight, Friday night, he'll be in the shul, and he'll go to the Rav. And Kinalach, after the davening, Reb Avraham went to the Rav, who was davening in front of the shul, and he said, "Excuse me, a guten Shabbos. My name is Reb Avraham." And the Rav smiled at him with a big smile. "Good Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem. It's so good to see you. Please come to my house and be my guest for Shabbos. It's very, very rare, if at all, I have a guest for Shabbos on this island. Please be my Shabbos guest." And Reb Avraham says, "But I would love to come, and I appreciate your invitation, but please tell me, where are we here? What is the name of this town? And who are you people? And how come you live in the middle of an island, the middle of the ocean?" And the Rav smiles, a very beautiful, friendly smile. He says, "You're asking good questions, and I, Bli Neder, will give you the answers to your questions, but I'm sure you're very hungry, and I'm sure that you would like to have a nice meal. And we'll talk during the meal." And the Rav asked to Reb Avraham, "And what brings you here to the island?" My Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, he sent me on a ship to go to a certain place, and the ship got into a storm, and the ship broke apart in the storm, and it sank, and I don't know what happened to the ship or the people, but I swam, and I ended up on this island, and that's how come I'm here. And the whole week I was walking around the forest, that I didn't see anybody, and I came here, and I saw that nobody was here, and then Erev Shabbos, I saw people were here, and I want to find out where I am." The Rav says, "Be patient. We'll have plenty of time by the Shabbos table." And now, Kinalach, everybody came to Reb Avraham and wished him a good Shabbos, very friendly and nice. Of course, when you see a stranger in shul, and it's Friday night, or it's Shabbos day, or it's any time, what should you do if you see a person, a boy? Let's say you see a boy your age that you never saw in shul, and he's kind of looking around like he's lost, like he's in a new place, he doesn't know anybody. Should you let him stand there by himself? Or maybe there's something that you should do? Who would like to raise his hand and tell me, what would it be very nice to do if you see a boy just standing there on Shabbos, looking around, and nobody's going over to him, he looks kind of lonely, what would you do?
Help him.
I'm sorry, what would you do?
Help him.
Well, what could you say to him, at least something, to make him feel good? And, you know, it's Shabbos. I mean, what would you say to him?
Tell him where he is.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, any shul on any Shabbos, and you see a boy there, what would it be nice to say to that boy, instead of just, you know, him being by himself and nobody going over to him?
Show him around.
Show him around. What could you say to him, the first thing? What would you say? A freilich and sukkis? A kosher and freilich and Pesach? What would you say?
Good Shabbos.
You would say good Shabbos. What would you say to him?
Good Shabbos.
What would you say to him?
Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom Aleichem, good Shabbos. You know, go over to somebody. Don't just have him be by himself. You know, there are shuls, like the one in this story, where everybody goes to everybody else, and they shake their hand and they say, "Good Shabbos," and they smile. This is a feeling of everybody together. It's called Achdus, and everybody being friendly together and making a nice warm Shabbos feeling instead of walking past somebody and not even saying good Shabbos or smiling, and they say good Shabbos to you and you walk past like a goylem, like a zombie, looking out into space. It should never happen anywhere, but you know, we know it does happen. It's very nice to say good Shabbos to somebody. And now the Rav says to Rabbi Avram, "Come to my house and let's have the Shabbos meal." And on the way, everybody's going to their houses, and Rabbi Avram sees the beautiful candles burning, and he hears the beautiful singing of Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil, and the families are around the table together. It's so beautiful in this town. It's just an amazing town, a gebenchte place, a place with a real bracha. And finally, they get to the Rav's house, a beautiful, nice, but simple house, and so clean, and everything is so Shabbistic. And the Rav's wife and his sons and daughters are by the table, and everybody smiles and says, "A guten Shabbos, how are you? Welcome to our town, welcome to our island." And now the Rav makes a beautiful Kiddush, and his sons make a beautiful Kiddush, and Rabbi Avram is given wine, and he makes his own Kiddush, and he drinks the wine, and it's so delicious. He says, "I've never tasted such wine. This is such delicious wine." And then they wash for the challah, and the Rav's wife had baked the challah, and he ate the challah, and it tasted so delicious, like he never tasted in his whole life such a delicious challah. And then they had fishy and all the stuff that goes along with that, and they started singing beautiful Shabbos Nigunim, and the Rav said a Dvar Torah, and his son said Divrei Torah. And Ken Allah, the Shabbos was so beautiful, Rabbi Avram forgot all about his questions. He was just enjoying the Shabbos. And the little boys at the table said a Dvar Torah, and the little girlies were also saying whatever they knew from the Parsha and things they knew from the week that they knew, that they learned. And making the mommy and the tati so happy and proud. And tati was asking questions and the kinaluk were answering. Of course, they were not answering the other one's question, they were answering their own questions. And then they were singing more nigunim, and they had a delicious chicken soup. It was mamish like Tom Gan Eden, and the chicken and the kugel, and more divrei Torah and more nigunim. And kinaluk, Rabbi Avram forgot all about his question for now. He was just enjoying a beautiful Shabbos. And the benching was beautiful. And they showed Rabbi Avram to a nice room, a guest room. And he went to sleep after saying Kriya Shema Lamita, of course, and preparing the Egel Vaser. Shh! And he slept a real Shabbistic sleep. And he woke up in the morning. And they went to the shul. And the davening in the morning was so beautiful. The kinaluk sitting next to Tati. And davening from the siddur, and everybody davening together with nigunim, and by Kriyas HaTorah, everyone was listening and pointing and looking into the chumash. And kinaluk, it was a beautiful seuda, a beautiful meal. And kinaluk, Rabbi Avram was having the most wonderful, beautiful Shabbos he ever had in his whole life. And he forgot all about his question, "Where is he? What's he doing there?" Shh. Finally, after the wonderful Shabbos, it came Moitzei Shabbos, and they davened Ma'ariv. Shh. And Rabbi Avram remembered, "Oh, I'm going to ask my question soon. It's after Shabbos already." And kinaluk, after Ma'ariv is Havdalah in Shul. And then people go home and make Havdalah at home, usually. But over here was a little bit different. All of a sudden, after Ma'ariv, all of a sudden, when it came time for Havdalah in the shul, everybody from the town came into the shul for Havdalah. The men and the ladies came into the Vayber shul and all the kindalach, and even the babies, everybody was coming. The men came in, and the ladies, and the kinnalach. Everyone was standing for Havdalah, and the Rav himself was getting ready to make Havdalah, and Rav Avram had in mind that right after Havdalah, he's going to go to the Rav and ask his questions, where am I, and what am I, where am I, and what is this island over here, and what is this town, what's everybody doing here? And a very interesting and strange thing took place, which you are going to hear. Shh. The Rav made Havdalah, and after Havdalah, it's a minhag to go to the wine that spilled. Whoever saw this? People stick their fingers in the wine, and they put the wine over their eyelids, and sometimes in their pockets, and there's all kinds of things why we do this, and minhagim, and skulois. But this time, kinnalach, something happened that probably does not happen in your house, probably. That as soon as the Rav put his fingers into the wine, and all of a sudden everybody else went over to the wine, and they put their fingers also in the wine, everybody. And then they put the wine over their eyelids. All of a sudden, kinnalach, the people started to disappear. The Rav disappeared. The men disappeared. The women disappeared. The kinnalach disappeared. Everybody just vanished and disappeared. Not that they ran out of the shul. Not that they climbed out the window. They just were not there. They disappeared. And Avraham was the only one left in the shul. He didn't disappear. He says, am I dreaming? Did I actually see this? The people went over to the wine. They stuck their fingers in. They put it over their eyelids. And all of a sudden they disappeared. Couldn't be. He pinched himself. Am I sleeping? Am I dreaming? Well, he's still awake. Well, he went over to the wine. He tried the same thing. He didn't disappear. He was still there. He was the only one left in the shul. And it was very quiet, just like it was before all these people had come. And he was alone in the shul before on Thursday. Quiet. Not a sound. Just wind blowing outside. What in the world happened? Where did all these people go? And I didn't even have a chance to ask the Rav my question because I was having such a beautiful Shabbos. He went outside. Nobody was walking in the street. He went over to the Rav's house. Nobody was home. He looked in the other houses. Nobody was there. The houses were exactly like they were before. Just empty houses without a sound. Well, kinnalach, Rabbi Avram had no choice but to stay where he was. This time he did not sleep in the forest, but he stayed in his room at the Rav's house. After all, he was the guest for Shabbos. He felt that it was okay to sleep in a bed instead of under a tree in the forest. And he was Sunday on the island, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, wondering what in the world is going to be. He woke up in the morning, Erev Shabbos, kinnalach, and he went outside, and all of a sudden, full of people! Look, they're all here again! Everybody is here! But where did they go? Where were they the whole week? And he sees this one running to the store, and somebody else is carrying bags of flour, and somebody else is carrying fishy, and somebody else is carrying chickens, and somebody else is going shopping, carrying other bags of other stuff with fruit and vegetables. And he runs over to one of the men that he remembers. "Excuse me, you must tell me, what's going on? Where did everybody go?" I'm sorry. We have to get ready for Shabbos. No time. I'm very busy today. We'll talk tonight." And he goes to somebody else. "Please, you know, remember I was here last Shabbos? I remember you in the shul. You got to tell me, where did you go? Where am I? What is the name of this place? What is this town? What is this island?" "Look, you know, it's very busy on Erev Shabbos. No time to talk. I have a lot to do and a lot to do in the house. Please, I'll see you tonight in shul, okay? Bye." Each person is running and going and preparing for Shabbos. And he could not get any kind of answer the whole Erev Shabbos from anybody.